Hello, welcome back to the United Masterclass, a tactical podcast about Manchester United. I'm your host, Haider Abani, and I'm joined by Rob Blanchett. As always, Rob, Manchester United have lost in very disappointing fashion. 3-2 to Arsenal, a really fantastic game, a lot of quality, a lot of, sort of to and fro. United had attacks, Arsenal had attacks, but Arsenal were the better side. They are the better side. They pipped it at the end. They deserved to win it, unfortunately. And while United were good, they weren't quite good enough to win the game. So while it's disappointing, we have a lot to talk about. We do have some positives to talk about today as well. And the project that Ten Hag is doing, 6-7 months into the project compared to 3 years to Arsenal. While it always hurts to lose to the red side of North London, because it always does, I think United can be really proud today. And without Casemiro, I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of kind of blue skies in all of this. So you lost the game in the most horrific fashion. That happens in football, don't it? You can see the goal in the 89th minute. You've got no time to get back in it. And that's how it was as soon as that hit the back of the net. But you are playing the best team in England at the moment. A team that's top of the Premier League deservedly. A team that's taken 3.5 years to build. That's how long Arteta has been in charge of this Arsenal team. And you're putting out a team that's been together 7 months without doubt its best midfielder in Casemiro. So you were disadvantaged from the start. So theory tells you should probably lose this game. And before the match, I wasn't particularly confident. But all I'd said, and I think I tweeted out as well, I was like, we expect to see a certain standard of performance today. That's what we expect, because that's what's happened the last few weeks with Man United and under Erik ten Hag. And I think we got that. I think we got a performance out of them, but it just shows how long it takes to become good. Like, I think Man United are a better team than they were 6 months ago and a better team than they were 12 months ago. But this Arsenal team has been crafted recruitment and tactical, passing the ball, pressing, all the good stuff that you want from coaching and from a team. And they're really good. And I think people have to kind of sometimes you hold your hands up and just say the better team won. The stats that we're going to show you in a minute kind of prove that. Like, Arsenal really won the battle of the stats. But of course, what matters is the scoreline. And 3-2 shows how close in real time the game was. So bad day at the office for Man United in terms of the result. But I don't think anyone should be that disappointed or sad or surprised, because this Arsenal team at home, I don't know there's many teams in the world that could probably beat them at the moment on their form, but I think them and Napoli are the best teams on the planet as it stands. So we should give them that respect. So I think they earned that. And we were just short of them at the end of the day.
Rob, the thing is, though, United, I think the fact that we drew midweek against Palace was frustrating. I think that was, and the way that, in the manner that happened, then losing Casemiro. I went in today, you know, my roommate's an Arsenal fan. We watched the game together. And, I went in today before the game. I was like, I have no expectation of United to win this game or to even get a result. And what we saw in that first half, though, was United, as Cohen said in the comment, you know, we showed so many moments of control. United didn't turn up and just play a low block and try to hit them on the counter. United tried to play. They pressed very, very well. We will talk today about, you know, formation selection, Weghorst as well, because he was key in that. We'll talk about Shaw and maybe what didn't go so well for him. And maybe he did have a losing battle against Saka. You know, we'll talk about McTominay as well, who was playing in that key position. But when we look at all of these things put together, you know, Erik ten Hag came with a plan and he nearly executed it. And when it was 2-2, I actually said to myself, I was like, you know what, I'll take the two-all draw. I think the frustrating thing in the moment right now is last week the City win was fantastic. Obviously, we had a great masterclass. Then United have drawn and now they've lost this game. And I think it's just a week of the expectations have been so low for so long that actually for a long time United have had high expectations. And maybe you just need to temper those expectations a little bit. While technically you can say we're in a title race because we're in the top four, this team isn't ready to win yet. But I really do think we've got a manager who is top tier. I think he's elite tactically. He's got a vision. And in a year or two's time, I have no doubt that Man United, if they recruit properly, new owners come in, Ten Hag can win a Premier League at Manchester United.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think, you know, the blueprint is set out there from Arsenal. Look how long it's taken Arteta to make this team. As I said, it's been kind of like 42 months to get where they are now in terms of their own development. I think with, you know, rather than United thinking about Premier League titles next year and all of these things, and yeah, we'll get there as we kind of move along. I think it's just one step at a time. So with these three games and looking at it, with Manchester City being obviously one of them and Arsenal being another, and so you got 4 points from nine for a team that may be expected to be on the fringes of the top four this year, which is what we expected from Man United in terms of their own recruitment and where they were maybe only just last season. I kind of think it's okay. I know it doesn't feel okay, like in the moment, fans are not going to feel good that you drop that goal against Crystal Palace, which basically that's one win chalked off. Today, you probably could have got a draw if you just managed to manage those last 5 minutes a little bit better. But I do think at the end of this game, you know, at the 85th minute, it was Arsenal trying to win the game and Man United trying to just stick in it, just trying to keep fighting and keep fighting. So overall, I don't kind of come away from this game feeling like robbed or upset. I was more upset probably with Crystal Palace out of all of them, you know, dropping that win there, because I think United made some mistakes in that match. But looking at this one, Arsenal, for me, you know, just we've got to give them credit. That's why I think we start off with this. Give them credit. They are a top, top team. They're there for valid reasons. And I think Arteta's shown what a great manager he is going forward. And I think Arteta has taken a lot of those Guardiola tactics and taken time to mould them with a young team. You know, some of the players on their side today, you know, I think you look at Saka, look at Odegaard, especially those two. I thought they were fantastic. It was sensational. And United did well to keep the score to 2-2 for as long as they kind of did, even when they fought back in the match. So I think it's one of those games that, even though you might feel disappointed that United didn't get a point out of it, it was really hit or miss whether they really deserved anything from the game. I think Arsenal were the aggressors.
Absolutely. Guys, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you see us on Twitter as well, give it a retweet. Want to hear as many of your thoughts as possible. Are you disappointed, or are you sort of, you know, maybe acknowledging that where United are in the process, in the project, you know, we're in very early phases? Give us a follow on Man United MC and give Rob a follow on @_Rob_B. Rob, as always, let's start with the formation and selection. So you can see here, obviously, that Manchester United did not have Casemiro. And Shango saying in the comments, we sorely missed Casemiro. McTominay gave nothing. We also needed substitutions. Players were tired. When you're having a look at this starting 11, I mean, you've got Wan-Bissaka at right back, Varane, Martinez, and Shaw. So, you know, we saw Martinez come back in, and I think we will talk about Luke Shaw a little bit later, but I thought he had a really fantastic performance. You can see here, he was actually United's best player on the pitch. You had Eriksen and McTominay, which is a pivot that worked last time that these two teams played. But United didn't sit back as much as they did at Old Trafford. You know, United came to play. You know, they got on the ball. And in that first half, you know, possession was almost 50-50. But no, Casemiro is massive in terms of being able to control possession, reading of the game, getting on the ball, having the fearlessness and showing for the ball. That's something I didn't see from McTominay. And we don't see from McTominay, in my opinion, enough. And then the front three of Rashford, Bruno, and Anthony behind Weghorst. So when you have a look at that side, you know, compared to Arsenal's side, I was quite surprised to see Weghorst start, but actually I thought it was the right decision. We know Martial's injured. I thought we might have seen Bruno pushed out to the right. I probably would have started Fred, to be honest, Rob, like we did against City. So it would have been McFred, and then Eriksen in behind Rashford. In behind Weghorst, and I would probably have benched Antony, but I thought Antony was actually very good defensively. I was quite surprised, though, to see that Ten Hag didn't pack that midfield with Fred in there.
Yeah, because I think this is a different kind of coach, Haydar. So I think in years gone by, that's what United would have done, isn't it? Under all the coaches that we've had, they'd have packed the midfield. They'd have put a double pivot in there, and they'd have gone to spoil. That's not really what this Man United incarnation does it? It's not really their game. So obviously here from a graphic, it says like 4-2-3-1. Man United weren't really in a 4-2-3-1 for most of that game. The way they were playing it is a usual kind of 4-4-1-5, but instead of the one being Casemiro, the one was a kind of alternate between Eriksen and McTominay. So you saw sometimes Eriksen was deeper and McTominay would go and join as a kind of number eight up the pitch, and you'd have that five. And you saw other times that Bruno Fernandes was, in the second half especially, running beyond Weghorst, who I thought was absolutely brilliant today. Like, I know he's not really the most threatening centre forward, and I don't think United have worked out how to use him just yet in two games. You can kind of see that. But I think playing that shape and the press, had United been better at that for the whole game, Haydar, and I mean like definitely the second half in the latter stages, and kept their shape, I think they would have had the counter press on. I think they might have even won the game. You know, at 2-2, they might have gone and nicked the goal. But instead, what they did was they got deeper and deeper. And it a mid-block, which is kind of what they were playing for a lot of the game, turned into a little bit of a low block, but actually wasn't a proper low block. It wasn't like packing the numbers in. It was just kind of getting too deep. You know, it's like, get too deep, get out. That's all I kept shouting at Luke Shaw. Get out, get out. He kept wandering backwards into his own box, and Saka loved that. So tactically, I don't think we'll ever see Man United pack midfields a la Solskjaer ever again. Not under this manager, because this manager wants to counter-press. That's what he loves. And that's why he's bought Weghorst, because I think Weghorst, I think, was a shoo-in to start today, because without Martial, you haven't really got another striker that can do the counter-press from that place, from the number nine. Rashi can play there. We know that. Rashford's goal was sensational today. I actually think Rashford overplayed quite a bit today. Every time he got the ball, he just wanted to kind of beat everyone and go full-scale Mbappe, because it worked early on in the match, didn't it? Shape means everything to this coach. And I think that United, when their shape was good, they were the better team at times. But when the shape kind of got skewed, and it did later on in the football match, where they were tired and getting too deep, that's when you could see Arsenal's ball-playing skills were so, so far superior to Man United's.
Let's talk about Weghorst, Rob, because, you know, as Alan's saying here, looked very good pressing off the ball. Well, we know already, we've seen many, many graphics Sky Sports put up before Weghorst joined. There's no better pressing number nine in world football than Weghorst. The stats say that. And you could see that with him. He's a workhorse, to be honest, but I actually thought that he's very intelligent. So, you know, the way that he understands what the pressing triggers are, cutting out the passing lanes. Not only that, though, but on the ball, he gave United the platform to play off. You know, he lays off the ball off nicely. Maybe what we don't have, I think when I saw the starting lineup, I was like, United are going to struggle to play on transition, because he's not a player that's, I would say, quick enough on the transition. But what he did do is Bruno would fire the ball into him, it'd come back, Rashford would make a run. So I thought he gave United a really good platform. I've liked what I've seen from him in the last couple of games. He offers United something different. I'm actually going to go forward, Rob, to the slide here, and we just have a look at his heat map. I thought he was fantastic. And I think that although we haven't, like you said, figured out how to get him more chances, he hasn't really had many chances on goal. He had a header against Palace. I think what he's doing off the ball is making a big difference to his side. And Rashford's goal came as well from, it was a fantastic piece of skill, great feint, and then great shot. But Weghorst made that run, which, you know, took Gabriel out the other way and opened the space up for Marcus. So from what I've seen from him in the short amount of time, I'm liking what I see. Am I seeing? Is he the number nine for United long term? No, it's probably someone like Harry Kane or Osman. But I think he's been a really shrewd signing. And yeah, look, he's got, you can see there's a mentality as well. He gets stuck in, and I like that. So I thought he's done well the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think he was really good today. And I think the heat map, you know, what can we kind of deduce from what we can see here? What you can see here, and look at the kind of that hot spot there on the left-hand side of the attack, is that's called go and expose Ben White, right? So Ben White's on that side. Ben White was off at halftime, wasn't he? Why? Because he got a yellow card and he was getting exposed. So United's trap on that left-hand side, featuring kind of right, Rashi obviously being the threat from deep, someone who can run with the ball and off the ball. But what you saw Weghorst do really well, and especially with Rashford's goal as well, is he kind of does stuff that Martial does, which I think is in terms of like, you know, check the interceptor, making sure that pass doesn't come into midfield. But he's actually, he's just a bit more mobile than Martial. Now, that sounds mad because Martial is quicker and probably more twinkle toes than Weghorst. But what Weghorst gives you is discipline. Gives you discipline in that moment. And that's going to hurt a lot of teams like Arsenal who want to play through midfield. So any of the good teams that you play, and you know, most teams in the Premier League want to play football now, don't they? I would say 16 teams, 17 teams of the whole of the top flight. You need a striker that does these things. This has been identified by many clubs now. You know, this is how it is. This is what City have kind of struggled with Haaland. Of course, Haaland can go score your hat-trick, not comparing Haaland and Weghorst. But in Man United's system, they needed a number nine for the rest of the season that gives you this option. I still think when everyone is fit, for me, Martial is the starter, but we don't know obviously with his fitness. And Weghorst gives you that 20, 25 minutes of discipline in a second half. And that's in a perfect world. But today you had to start him. Martial's injured. You still haven't got Sancho. You had players out. So you had to have a slightly different shape, but you still wanted to press. I think the press was good at times, but as the game went on, they just got more tired. And it meant that Arsenal could go and play their football in more dangerous parts of the park.
Rob, let's talk about Ten Hag's comments, because they've just come out now. So Ten Hag said, it was a great game, a lot of tempo, and the audience is the big winner. It was. I actually thought it was one of the best games we've seen this season. We watched Liverpool and Chelsea yesterday. I mean, talk about mid, you know, the quality on the pitch was poor. Obviously, there was a lot of rotation. But that game last season, Liverpool versus Chelsea, was a table-topping game that would affect the title. Today, Man United and Arsenal, who'd have thought that even 6 months ago before Ten Hag came in? So I think that's something to take into consideration when you're looking at these two sides. I thought they both were very, I would say, decent on the ball, but I also thought they were good off the ball. There was obviously good tactics on show. He said that two top teams, but of course we were disappointed when you lose this game in the late stage. All the goals we conceded today are mistakes. It can't happen, which I think is quite interesting. Even last week, we were so hard to beat in such situations. Today, we were not. All three goals could have been avoided. So he's talking about the mistakes. And we will talk about some of those goals. We should be talking about Saka's one, because I think that's one that could have been avoided. He said that Arsenal are very good on the ball, but we are a good defending team. There were not a lot of open chances. We made mistakes, which we can't make. This game was decided by small details, but also the decision-making. That is hard to accept, and we have to learn. I want to win. It's not good enough. We want to be number one, but make mistakes. That is clear. And what I told them. I love those comments, because I think that, you know, he's got incredibly high standards. He's a winner. He wants to win. I think, you know, United would be disappointed. Well, I think he'll be disappointed that United couldn't hold on for 2-2 and get the result. I think he'd be disappointed midweek that we made mistakes again and we dropped points. But in such a short amount of time, in these 7 months, the level of where we were, you know, back in the last season to now, is almost chalk and cheese. So I think that this gets better with Ten Hag having more time with the squad, obviously, to develop his tactics with them and to train them. But also, like, let's be honest, you need to bring in more quality players that fit certain roles in the team. So, you know, I thought goalkeeper today, you can see David De Gea's issues. He puts United under pressure on the ball. He made a great save with on Nketiah, but that is a problem for me. Wan-Bissaka had a good game, but again, look, on the ball, you know, United conceded. They conceded goals because when they're trying to play out the back, and they did that poorly. So all these things considered, I love Ten Hag's comments, and he knows their mistakes, but Arsenal were the better side. Unfortunately, they are a better side, and they're further along in their development. And football, unfortunately, sometimes is like that. It's not just a magic wand where you can fix it in a year or so.
And I think that's all it is. It's about, it's like proactive football versus reactive football. And all you really want to do in a game is to be as proactive as possible and not react to the opposition. So, like, just to kind of mention the De Gea bit there, you see, is I don't think United lose this game because of David De Gea. I think you've got to kind of look at it and narrow it down and look at what was proactive and what was reactive. I think playing out from the back, even though it was a little bit sketchy, it was more what United were doing in midfield that lost you this game. It was because McTominay and the function there with Eriksen, and then I think Bruno Fernandes running around, as I described him during the game, as a blue-ass fly. That does not help you when you're trying to be a solid midfield. So Arsenal playing 4-3-3, you kind of match up to them in a 4-3-3 at times, but you just don't do it as well as them. That's kind of the story of the game. Yes, there were times, I think, when the ball's at Wan-Bissaka's feet where you know that that's his weakness. You know De Gea's weakness is the ball at his feet. So just, like, don't do it as often. You know, get the ball to Martinez, who's a ball player, to Varane, who's a ball player, to Eriksen, dropping deep, who's a ball player. It's not that difficult. So for me, they're the kind of things where you think, you know, where he just said they mentioned small details. That's what he's talking about, small details. Get the ball to the ball players and then go 1, 2, 3 passes and you're out quickly. United didn't do that very successfully, but I don't think it was the kind of usual suspects problems. But I do think that kind of in the lay of the land and the way the game went, Luke Shaw playing at left back today, Luke Shaw was playing like a centre back at left back, coming way too narrow. And I think that's because the last 6 weeks he's probably been training quite a bit as a centre back. And you could see his positioning wasn't as acute as you would normally expect Luke Shaw's positioning to be. Because normally he's really good at going one-on-one with wingers. Like, he'll push them wide, he'll get tight. He's quite combative. What did he do today, Haydar? Every time Saka got the ball, he went backwards. Now, it's not normal for Luke Shaw that, but I think that's Luke Shaw kind of thinking almost like, I need to come into the channel and look after the channel. That's my job. And they've got the ball. So am I going to block a runner? It might well have been something deliberate. But again, I think that that was more to do with details of when you need your fullback to go and push up against a player. Martinelli did nothing today because Wan-Bissaka was really disciplined in staying tight. And that was that. And that closed down that side of the pitch. Really, Luke Shaw needed to do that. And trust inside Martinez to look after any runners.
100%. I think that was the key battles. We know the midfield battle, obviously. No Casemiro. So we knew there was going to be a midfield battle. But actually, the wide areas, I think, is where Arsenal started to grow into the game. So, you know, what United did well in the first half is it didn't allow Martinelli and Saka to pick up the ball and to drive into the box or to try. Because what Arsenal are fantastic at is that their ability to create and to create cutbacks. And that's how they score a lot of their goals, and their ability to be very, very pinpoint in the box. I mean, this is what City have been doing for years. Liverpool do that. United have started to get better at that. But this is what the top sides are doing. They're so, so concise, and so their position is fantastic in the box, where when their wide players get in, they have options and they're able to score goals. I think United did that well in the first half. But the second half, you're right. And I kept on saying during the game that Luke Shaw needs to stop giving Saka so much space. He was standing there jockeying and giving him so much space to almost cut in on his left-hand side. But you have to admit it, Rob. I mean, the development of Bukayo Saka has been absolutely sensational. I think he's one of the best wingers in the world currently on form. He's a top player. And unfortunately, United gave Arsenal's most dangerous player too much time, space, maybe respect. And I was quite shocked with Luke Shaw because, as you said, I think he's had a really great season, and he's someone who has really improved his defensive side of the game. I saw Eriksen getting a lot of stick during the game, and Eriksen getting stick for the Saka goal, saying he should have come out quicker. But I think for me, that was Shaw. And we saw that Ten Hag then did bring on Fred to try and combat that. And it did. And while it helped a little bit, I mean, Saka was just really difficult to target today. So having a look at Luke Shaw, I mean, what would you have maybe like to see Malacia come on or something like that? Not for sure, but maybe, you know, United shuffled a little bit, because what Malacia does do well, and he has done well, is he comes up very, very, very fast onto the winger. He's aggressive. He doesn't give them time. And I think that's where Shaw maybe lacked today.
No, what I would have preferred absolutely is that Luke Shaw does his job, kind of as simple as that. I don't think that this is a tactical change where if you bring in Malacia, that Malacia is a better fullback than Luke Shaw and is better at stopping someone like Saka. In fact, I think someone like Saka would make mincemeat of a young fullback like Malacia. So Luke Shaw, for me, when you look at this this heat map that we've got up on the screen here, so apologies to people who are listening to the podcast either on Apple or on Spotify. So if you come on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. You can kind of see here in his positioning, in the space, and you know that he's a left-sided fullback. It's obvious. You can see where the heat map is there. But just look at our own box and that big splodge in front of De Gea, where Luke Shaw spent way too much time. So Luke Shaw, that is kind of a centre-back's position. Can you see it, Hey Duck? There, we go towards the penalty spot on the far right-hand side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in our box there, you can see that big splodge there. Luke Shaw gave way too much ground away today to Saka. Now, he plays with Saka for England. He knows everything that Saka's good at. I don't believe for 1 second that Ten Hag said to Luke Shaw today, yeah, just jockey into the box and stop the ball coming across. Because what we do know about Saka is he likes to go onto his left foot across the box and shoot. Now, with his goal, you could say, yeah, Eriksen could get a little bit tighter. But I'm never going to expect Christian Eriksen to be the most perfect defensive midfielder in the world. He's there to kind of intercept or to pick the ball out and play the ball out from the back. It's more about, I think, how your fullback reacts in that moment. You could also say that maybe the function just between Shaw and Martinez is what failed, because we don't know if Luke Shaw's thinking, well, you know, I don't feel backed up behind me. I don't know whether the centre-back's looking after that space. But you've got to trust. That's what you've got to do, isn't it? So I think, again, when they take this away and they really look at the detail, I think Luke Shaw will look at those goals and he will think to himself, could I have just been tighter? Could I have just been braver? Because I think that's what it comes down to, Haydar. Luke Shaw's a fantastic left-back. He's the starter every day of the week over Malacia for me. Malacia is not even in the same ballpark as him. So you wouldn't want to downgrade to upgrade. It doesn't make any kind of sense. You just need Luke Shaw doing Luke Shaw things again. I think on another day, if he'd been playing fullback the last 6 weeks, I think he takes care of Saka much more. And I think then you might get something out of the game. You might get a draw. So small details, as Eric Ten Hag said.
Rob, just going to bring up Alan's comment here because he says he'll have to rewatch the game, but how did Wan-Bissaka end up at the left back post on Nketiah's first goal? That was poor. I think this is what Ten Hag's talking about, the mistakes. So, you know, the first mistake is De Gea playing out to Wan-Bissaka and then us conceding a corner. So that's the first thing. Then the next mistake is, I think there was a coach that, or someone was shouting to Wan-Bissaka to push up after the corner went out. He looked two or three times. He could see, obviously, that Nketiah was at the back post and then just allowed him to run in front of him and score the goal. So that was poor. That was poor defending. And that's the sort of things, because United, up until that point, that was the first 20 minutes or so, Rashford scored that fantastic goal. I mean, what a great goal. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to my roommate, who's an Arsenal fan, I was saying, like, United can't concede before half time. They need to be able to hold on to it. 3 or 4 minutes later, through their own mistakes, that's what happened. So I think it's about, it's like you said, it's about the smaller, finer things. But I also think it's about knowing what your roles are in certain situations. I think sometimes some of these players do switch off at key moments. And I think that's the difference right now between this United side and, let's say, Arsenal.
Yeah, I think that there was a corner, wasn't it, just before the goal. So the ball kind of pops out and that's where they go. So I think that in terms of territory, there was a case there that probably Wan-Bissaka was just covering that part, you know, in terms of spacing. I think when you look at the replay again, and again, I'm looking at where is Luke Shaw. That was what I was thinking at that moment. Luke Shaw, in open play, his job would be to look after that far post, wouldn't it? That would be the natural thing. Look at Luke Shaw's position. Again, he's kind of at centre-back. So I don't know if that was Luke Shaw making the mistake and then Wan-Bissaka going, I'm in no man's land. Because I don't think Wan-Bissaka is the kind of player who won't attack that. But what we have said in the past is that that Wan-Bissaka's weakness is the ball over the top of his head. Yes, always has been. So the far post run. Nketiah shouldn't get there. There's no doubt about it. But the cross is really good. And I think Arsenal's two passes just before that, getting the ball to Xhaka and Xhaka swinging the ball in, you can see that United are disorganised. So people can blame Wan-Bissaka because he's the guy at the back post. But that position's not familiar to him. He's never really in that role, is he, at that side of the pitch? And I think that's why they score. You know, Nketiah really just shouldn't not get that run. I'm looking at, where's Martinez? Because he's your left centre-back. Where's Luke Shaw? He's your left full-back. And I think because it came from the corner, they hadn't reorganised quick enough. And there was way too many, one or two players, Haydar, stood around. You saw that. They were kind of like, oh, what are we supposed to do? Devil is in the detail. So I think they made that mistake there. That's why Arsenal got that goal.
Absolutely. Rob, look, we're gonna talk about McTominay. And I think it's important to talk about him because when you have someone like Casemiro, and you saw the statistics when Casemiro plays, United have only lost once when he's played. Mm-hmm. You just see like United concede like 0.7 goals per game. They score 2 goals per game, you know, and when he doesn't play, they're conceding, you know, around 2 goals a game. So we saw that today, 3 goals conceded. But not only is Casemiro a fantastic reader of the game, he brings confidence to the whole team. Obviously, his mentality, he's great on the ball. You know, when he is pressed, sometimes that can be a bit of a problem, but he starts so many Man United's attacks. And I think while we can talk about the wide players and you know, obviously the battle between the fullbacks and the wingers, United did lose a midfield battle as well today. They had less quality. You saw Odegaard dropping deep, getting on the ball. I mean, he's a sensational player. Thomas Partey, obviously, would have been a great battle to see him versus Casemiro. I think they're the two, along with Rodri, they're the three top defensive midfielders, probably in world football right now. But unfortunately, what Scott McTominay doesn't give you, and that's not his fault. He's just not anywhere near Casemiro's level. But if United want to go forward, they need to have, I think, a player of similar quality to Casemiro that could come and slot in. For me, he didn't show for the ball. He's not comfortable, obviously, picking the ball up from deep. And unfortunately, I just felt like he was chasing shadows today. And look, I think United did well in terms of the performance. But if United want to go to the next level, they're going to have to upgrade on players like that.
They are going to have to upgrade. But this is what we've said at the top of the show and why we said it, is that Arsenal were 3.5 years in their recruitment and they're building, and Man United are 7 months, whilst Manchester United go through now a new ownership change. So the thing is, I think we can all talk about what Man United need until we're blue in the face. We can keep saying we need more than this, we need more. The constant thing, isn't it, Haydar, is just say we need more, we need more, we need more. No, you need coaching, right? So this is kind of where we are. So I think today, if Scott McTominay had done just one or two or three things better in there, you get away without having Casemiro in the game. But the problem is that Scott McTominay is just not good enough. So, like you said there at the top, I think you probably would have preferred to have maybe had Fred in there. But they looked at what they did against Arsenal in the first game. And I think they tried to replicate some of that, you know, from the midfield positions, because it worked quite well. Even though Arsenal dominated the game at Old Trafford for long spells, I think in this game, Arsenal dominated less than they did at Old Trafford. But again, at Old Trafford, they lost the game and today they won it. So there's a little bit kind of development from the start of the season to now. But you were massively hamstrung by losing Casemiro. You just said there, we need a player like Casemiro to come in. Well, there ain't many of them. There's no Casemiros out there. There's no Casemiro Mark II or Casemiro with a mask on his face and you can drop him in and he'll do Casemiro things. Doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist, you can't do it. What you need is different tactics, different coaching at that moment. So I think today with Man United, playing that 4-1-5, which is what the manager wants to play all the time, every game, I think you could have played more of a 4-2-3-1 with a mid block and got out quicker and done it that way and set traps and got out. Instead, what we saw in the second half was United looked very disorganized. So you could say some of that's on Ten Hag. He's the coach. He's the one on the sidelines. Up to him to organize them. But at the same time, I think it was more the individual roles within the game for individual players. And that was the only margin at the end of the day. Like, Arsenal are a better team. But you lose this game really just from being slightly dysfunctional at the end of the match, where you're probably a little bit fearful and tired and just a little bit too deep. I think United pushed out with 10 minutes to go. One thing I said, Haydar, I was watching the game. I did not understand why he didn't bring Garnacho on with about 15 minutes to go, because Garnacho would have just pushed the play in the correct area. That's all it would have been. And I think the man just kind of hesitated for a bit and he waited an extra 5 or 10 minutes. And then when Garnacho's on the pitch, too late. So I think he could have been more proactive in that moment, had Garnacho on. And that would have really given Arsenal's defence something else to think about. Maybe put Rashford through the middle. Say, right, now got a pace option through the middle. And we're going to hit you on a counter-attack if you lose the ball. We didn't do that. I think that tactic would have worked really well against this Arsenal team.
Yeah, I was quite surprised actually that Weghorst played the whole game, and it took it took Garnacho a while to come on. I probably would have put Rashford essentially, because what happened was when you shift Bruno Fernandes out wide, Anthony came off. United didn't have any pace to run in behind, really, to play on the counter. Yeah. And I think that was a bit of frustration. The other thing I want to say though as well, Rob, is that in the last three games, I think you can probably attribute this to tiredness as well. United have got such a packed schedule. They're the only team left in all four competitions. And if they do stay in all these competitions, the squad's going to be completely stretched. A lot of people said this in the comments. Ten Hag didn't really have any options off the bench. Barring Garnacho, what did he have? And I think that is the other thing. You know, you saw Trossard come on for Arsenal. I think that's a great signing. 27 million is quite a lot for 1 year left, but great signing. Shows some nice bits. You know, they've got Vieira on the bench as well. They've got quality to come off the bench. You know, they were able to take off White and bring on Tomiyasu. Do you know what I mean? So they've got some good depth, and United didn't have anything on the bench. So that going forward, they're going to have to improve the squad and have more depth in the squad and more quality. Shango saying here, Pelestri. I would have liked to have seen something from Pelestri as well. Rob, I actually want to talk about Anthony. A lot of people are talking about Anthony, and let's actually tie this in with Jadon Sancho, because Jadon Sancho is back into training. A lot of people who listen to this podcast know that we're both big fans of Jadon Sancho. Hasn't quite happened for him at Man United. Obviously, there's been a couple of uncertainty off the field going on with him, but he's back. He's Ten Hag's managed it, I think, really well. Sent him into that personal training camp in Holland, and he's back into training. So this, like, as much of it as a cliche, it's going to be like a new signing for Man United. But we know his ceiling. He's got so much talent. When we're looking at Anthony, so actually, I'm going to be in the minority here. Like, I thought Anthony was good in the first half, to be honest. I think what Anthony does well is his off-the-ball work is very, very good. He's disappointing on the ball at the minute. He's looking one-dimensional. He does lack a bit of pace, very one-footed. His stats aren't particularly bad, and he's got around 5 goals for United since he's joined the season. Is he worth 90 million? Is he looking like a 90 million footballer? Absolutely not. United overpaid. We've spoken about this on the podcast many, many times. But should Jadon Sancho be able to come back, I think if he shows any sort of form and shows anything close to the level he can play at, I'd be starting him on that right-hand side 100% over Anthony, with Marcus on the left and whoever, let's say Martial through the middle. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on Anthony? Because he's getting a lot of stick at the minute. And, like, what are your thoughts on Sancho coming back?
Well, Sancho coming back is obviously a positive. But we've got to think about what Ten Hag is trying to do. So, and I think this gets overlooked. So, again, I've tried to kind of constantly talk about why this 4-2-3-1 when they play isn't really 4-2-3-1. Everyone kind of thinks, like, oh, they're going to Solskjaer 4-2-3-1, centre forward, 1-2-3 across. And they, no, it's not like that. It's not how they're playing. They're playing inverted. So the reason why Antony gets the start and why he bought Antony is he wants a winger on the right-hand side with the left foot. That's what he wants to do. Why? Because he wants to invert. It allows the channel there for someone like Delo to run it. The issue without Delo in the team is what? Wan-Bissaka. He can't overlap. So that's an issue, isn't it? So that hurts Antony. So Antony's form is not particularly good. Antony himself has had stuff happening off the pitch, which we don't really kind of need to go into much detail. There's not a lot out there about it, but he's talked about it recently and said that he's had some struggles and he's had problems, but he's still turning up for training. He's still there. He's still doing his thing. I think the things with Antony is that because of the price tag, everyone's expecting to see this kind of mad world-class level. I don't think he's a world-class player. I really wouldn't kind of put him in that bracket, but it's about your system. So if you're playing a 4-1-5, and that's what he's doing, and say Casemiro was here today, I think Antony becomes automatically more useful because he inverts, he comes in, he cuts that passing lane off, and he's kind of just a bit more narrow. We know how good he is coming on his left foot. He showed only, was it the Charlton game where he buries the ball in the top corner? He can do that. But I think it's more also about what everyone else is doing, Haydar. So like we're talking about there, Antony not being very good on the ball. I would say that United's big weakness as it stands at the moment, still, after all this time, is their work on the ball. Off the ball, they're a different team. Off the ball, they're really good. They're aggressive. They fight. They press. They do all that stuff. Antony, off the ball, really good. I think he's really good. On the ball, I would say go from back to front. You talked about De Gea a minute ago, but you could say that out of that back four, Wan-Bissaka's not great on the ball, but it's probably been better than he was last year. Martinez, Varane, sure, all good on the ball. Casemiro's not there today, so you lose that ball player. Eriksen's good on the ball, but then you've got Fred and McTominay, who are both useless on the ball. And then you go at the top end of the pitch, and I think this is kind of where it gets a bit skewed. I think Weghorst on the ball is really good. You could see how he's got a little bit of a touch. I've always said this, he's actually more technical than people give him credit. But then you've got Rashford, who I think kind of wants to do a bit too much at times, and Bruno, who wants to do too much on the ball. And they give the ball away, and that hurts Antony on the other side. So he's getting on the ball, Haydar, in really bad positions. Like, it's not good for him. He's not been able to take players on, is he? He's kind of having to jockey and run down the line with the ball. So that's, I think, how you solve this.
He does lack a bit of pace as well, though, Rob, surprisingly. Like, he hasn't got top-end. He hasn't got top-end pace and acceleration.
You remember that Partey burned him in this? Partey burned him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Partey burned him, but it's because Partey's got the run on him. I don't think it's because it's different the player who's on the ball and off the ball. So he's making that run. He doesn't really realise that Partey's kind of getting back. Partey shows how quick he is in those moments, proper defensive midfield function. But he's not a winger that's supposed to go around the outside. Like, you know, we talk about quick wingers, you know, like people like, that's not his game. Never has been his game. Like, people need to go back to Ajax and watch the tapes. He is a player that jockeys inside on his left. Like, Saka's goal today is what Antony wants to do for Man United. That's what he wants. But he needs...
The issue is, though, Rob, he's also predictable. He's
very predictable.
That's the problem. Yeah. I completely agree. If you actually watch... I was actually watching quite a few clips over the past week of him at Ajax. Just to see, like, because I was thinking... I watched him at Ajax last season and he was... way more unpredictable. He was he looked a bit more agile, to be honest. He looks like he might need to shed a bit of the bulk and maybe become a bit more agile, but also he was just so creative, Rob. He was always putting balls in, and I think that's what we're not seeing from him. But honestly, defensively, and people are just going to overlook this, but defensively he's absolutely fantastic. He understands pressing triggers, he understands when to come back, he tracks back, so that's positive. But he has been here for what, just under 20 games. It's not even that long, half a season. And I just think that there are legitimate concerns, but like, I'm still prepared to give him, or people should be prepared to give him time, because he's just moved. He's 22 years old. And I think, like, Ten Hag, if there's any manager that knows anything about him, it's Erik Ten Hag. Had to get the best out of him, but he does need to improve. There are certain parts of his game, but I agree with you actually tactically, you know, he's not playing in an optimal Man United or Ten Hag system yet. And he was doing that in Ajax.
Absolutely. And like, the question was about Jadon Sancho, so let's tie it in. Jadon Sancho's had off-the-pitch problems, both with his fitness and his mental health on one thing or another. Jadon Sancho gets taken out of the picture. We all feel feel sympathy for him, don't we? Well, all right, Jaden, go and get yourself sorted. Anthony's had problems off the pitch, but still playing games, went to a World Cup, came back to World Cup, talked about going through trauma very recently, and people don't give him the time of day. So there's a problem there, isn't there? So it's two players with the same problem, but play very different in your system. So I think with Anthony, there's no need for the jury to be in or out at the moment. He's turning up for work and doing his job and doing it to a level which people are not happy with. And I don't think at this moment there's massive concern, because you've got to kind of fix all the other moving parts around him, as well as say to him, this is the standard. It's not like he's there, I think, trying to be flash or do loads of step overs and kind of being wasteful. I don't think he's doing any of those things. I think he is working for the team, Haydar. So that's the first thing. I think we talk about Jaden on that side. We know that Jaden's played a lot on that side of the pitch. Played it for Dortmund, played it in a 4-3-3 with Haaland in front of him, played it in a 4-2-3-1 where he was coming in and scoring more goals and getting more assists. Man United don't really do either of those two things at the moment. So how do you use Jaden Sancho? Well, you'd probably invert him from the left. That's probably more likely what you'll see, is that the manager will have a runner on the outside being Luke Shaw and Jaden will come across with the ball. That's what Dutch coaches like to do. And that's what Erik ten Hag wants to do. So where do you use him? Yeah, you could use him on the right. And it's easy just to say, get rid of Anthony and put Jaden in there because Jaden can do it. But not if it doesn't suit the tactics or the team. Like that's regressive, isn't it? I think that's what Ole used to do. Ole would just be very reactive and drop someone in there and say, well, they can do that job, can't they? Well, no, they can't. That's, where's the tactic? What are you asking him to do? So Jaden, yeah, great to have him back. Yes, it's a little bit like a new signing and all of this. But I think Jaden will allow you to play 4-3-3 more successfully. So it means that if you're playing, I said this when we brought Weghorst to the club, I said the reason why we're bringing him is because Ten Hag wants to play 4-3-3. And Weghorst allows you to play 4-3-3. You have two wide players kind of doing that function. Weghorst looks after all the central space because he's good at that. He can put it on the deck. He can run off. He can bring other players into play. And then you've got Sancho and Rashford who can kind of be creative and run at players and one thing or another. And you can include Anthony in that as well. So I think you're going to see more of a 4-3-3 shape once Sancho is back. And that's how I think they'll use him. I don't think Sancho is great in the defensive function. Like, he does work when he's at the top of his game. He's a hard-working player. But I think he's going to take time to break back into this team. So I don't think he's the immediate solution to this issue. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, Haydar, I don't think there is an issue. Like, United are actually playing quite well. So it's horses for courses. You lost this game. You felt terrible about what happened against Crystal Palace. But you beat City. So, like, it's not all doom and gloom. And this is why I kind of said to you, like, off camera and before, that I don't think this show needs to be too detrimental tactically, because I don't think United got their tactics wrong today. I think Ten Hag's right. Small details is the only reason why you can see the three goals today.
Rob, we'll quickly talk about Ahmad, because Kenneth has, sort of a statement saying that would Ahmad make a great addition to the team as a number 10? Actually, when you're looking at the qualities, what he's shown at Sunderland, had a great loan, 7 goals, 2 assists. They're absolutely loving him up there. And I think that what I like about him is that he's playing with confidence. But when you look at what Anthony's meant to be doing in the system, you could actually see that Ahmad could come back in next year and offer a similar type of function. Left-footed player on that right-hand side. Mm-hmm. He's good in 1v1. He's creative. He can dribble. He can beat his man. So I think that's quite exciting. So when we're looking at sort of what United can do going forward, because we're going to end on a positive note, because there is a lot of positivity. That's one loss now for United in 11 games. Mm-hmm. You know, we're sitting in, we've played Arsenal home and away now. Played City home and away. So we played the two best sides in league home and away. Mm-hmm. United have now got a great opportunity to build on. They've got a nice set of fixtures. We've got Forest next. We've only got to play Liverpool away. We've got to play Chelsea at home and Newcastle away. So that's a hard game. And obviously we've got Spurs away as well. So United in a great position to secure third, possibly. We don't know what's going to happen. Arsenal and City have got to play each other twice now in the next coming weeks. So all of these things considered, and you look at, like, for example, if Ahmad comes back as well, the club gets sold, for example, you know, that is in the process. United might have new owners who actually have the desire to build this football club and to take it back to where it is. We have a fantastic elite manager tactically. He's done wonders in these first 6 months, after those first two games as well. He's bought correctly as well. United have a tactical plan on the ball and off the ball. I'm really positive about Man United, the most positive. I mean, and that's why I guess the loss today and the draw midweek actually hurts more because our expectations have gone up. We actually care now. United lost last season. I was like, whatever. We all were like this. We used to jump on the masterclass, right? We're doing another show. United didn't even try. It didn't even work. They were poor tactically. The players don't care. We hate the squad. I actually care about the squad now. I care about these players. So I'm really positive going forward into what we into this year and the coming years. And I think that United have a great foundation to build up. I don't think it'll be long before we're challenging and winning trophies again. I really don't. People might think that I'm being deluded, but I just don't think that we're that far away.
No, I don't think you're deluded at all. I just think, again, it's like one step at a time. So for me, you know, the objective this year is top four. So if you come fourth, you've ticked that objective. Anything more than that, if you get a League Cup on top of that, or you win even one of the other ones, like you got Europa League coming up, that you're in all four competitions still effectively, you might even go further on than where you are up the table, depending on what City and Arsenal do in Newcastle, of course. But you have got to be in the top four this year. Fourth is the objective. Get in the top four and that's it. Go on holiday. Come back next year. So for me, I think you've got to keep it simple. And I do think that you look at the 6 months. Yeah, the trajectory tells you that Man United could be title contenders next season. I'd like new owners, wouldn't we all? You know, but they've got to be the right owners. We don't want to replace one set of bad owners with another set of bad owners. And that is still on the table. So let's see where that goes. That's a conversation for another day. But I think when you look at Ten Hag and what we're judging the team by, we've got to judge them on the football. And the football is telling us, just from what we see with our eye, with the eye test and looking at the stats, that it's all going in the right direction. This is why when we talk about someone like Antony, I see one of the comments there said, you know, Antony's got the dog in him. I agree with that. I actually think that when you look at the squad now and look at the new players, they're all hungry. They want to win. And we haven't been able to say that in recent years about all Man United's players. It's quite interesting just to end here also on we said about Ahmed as well, but Jesse Lingard did obviously his interview recently, which everyone should go and try and have a listen to. And Jesse Lingard kind of talks about how the players had lost respect for the club and why that was because of the club not giving the players the top standards in terms of training facilities and maybe leadership and coaching. Flip forward to now, Jesse Lingard's gone, Paul Pogba's gone, loads of players are gone, you've brought in new players. The culture is completely different because of Erik ten Hag. So that's why I feel all right about this. Like, you've lost today, but you were the second best on the day. But there were lots of things that were pretty good. So we can talk about Luke Shaw's positioning for like 3 hours, but there's no point. What we need today, say Luke Shaw play better. So next week, we need to see better from you. If you do it again, then of course, we're going to be talking about it again, aren't we? But we're not getting that repetition of issues where I think last year it was. Like, we talk about the double pivot all the time, wouldn't we? And people will hate it. Why are you talking about the double pivot? It's like, that's what United are doing. But I think we're seeing a much more progressive, proactive set of standards and tactics from this coach. And look, you were in the game to the 89th minute against the best team probably in the world at the moment. So it's not a case of be happy that you lost or be happy that you got close. Be happy that your own project is on track. That's how I feel. Top four this year. Come fourth, Haydar. We all go on holiday. Everyone's happy. We start again next year because you're in the Champions League. If you're in the Champions League next year, you can go and get a better set of players. It's just the truth. And hopefully, if you've got an owner with a ton of cash who gives it to you and says, we'll go and buy the best out there, you've got to kind of take it every step and stage at a time. Man United fans notoriously are impatient and feel like they have to have the best before the game. There were people tweeting that United had to win it because, you know, Arsenal this, Arsenal that. Get real. Do you know what I mean? Get real. Arsenal miles ahead of us in terms of the project. But we showed that we're pretty close. And you're not going to buy anyone else in this transfer window, Haydar. Bring Jadon Sancho back. Find a number nine next year. Imagine we've got Harry Kane or Osimhen up top next season. This Man United team will just automatically score another 30 goals. If you score an extra 30 goals on what you're doing here, you are title contenders. You will be in every trophy. Little bit of patience. Keep the train moving the right way. Man United are going to good places.
And guys, we're going to end on that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you follow us on at Man United MC and give Rob a follow at @Rob_B. It's been a difficult week for United against Palace and Arsenal, but let's be positive and we'll see you all next time.